those were one of the fascinating things that attracted me.
Discuss some of the, because I was seeing when reading about Bush, you've had many partnerships with them. You were talking about Crew, your children's program, the schools, HIV and AIDS Education Project, South African Red Cross Society. Discuss some of these partnerships, Brenda, if you could get a little deeper into them and the impact that it has on you all at Bush Radio.
Okay. So I think the partnerships really, even today, are really developed out of need, a need in the community. So if you talk about, like we had a project called YAR 2000, which was in 2000, it was Youth Against AIDS. So YAA 2000. And that project ran about 4 years. And the reason we started that project was actually because there was a huge increase in HIV and AIDS infections amongst young people. And so when I talk about need and we respond to a need, that's basically how most projects are actually started. And this project then used music, hip-hop music specifically, and used that to educate young people about HIV and AIDS. And we did workshops at schools, did an on-air program, like a weekly or daily on-air program. Then we also did a culmination every year in a concert. And the concert were all local artists, hip-hop artists. And they had to write the music specifically for the concert, and we then produced the CD after that. So that was one project. Our relationship with Red Cross Society, which we know they across the world, they're an international body offering first aid and humanitarian support. And that also happened during that. So what they did is they would go out into different communities. We, for instance, in South Africa, we have a lot of floods during winter, and they would go out into the different communities and hand out soup and just any support they can. And we would then partner with them and go with the radio station, with the broadcast unit, and broadcast from there so that people can tell their stories and say what's happening. Those were some of our projects. A key program that Kusi also mentioned and you mentioned is our Crew program. So it's Children's Radio Education Workshop, and we recruit children between the ages of 6 and 18, and we train them in producing content, in how to be on air, how to present, how to research, how to do interviews. We train them in all of that. But on Saturdays from 9 a.m. till 12 p.m., they do the content. So they then basically produce the programs. And that is Crew. And Crew's actually, the Crew program actually started in 1996. So it's one of our longer standing programs that we do have on air. Obviously, the team changes every year. We do further recruitment. Once they're 18, then they can no longer be part of the program, except maybe as a facilitator to basically support the other people. Then out of Crew, in I think in about 2000, we basically developed at that time a Radio Kidocracy Conference. So it's Radio Kit and Democracy we put together and conference, and they dealt with issues that can't be dealt with on the radio program. So for instance, how are children portrayed in the media, any laws relating to children and the media, etc. And we developed that, and today we do it as a Media Kidocracy Conference, and it's normally a 5-day conference. Similar to what Robben Island does, we have theme-based. So we look at the theme for the year. So maybe the challenge is social media and fake news and something like that. And then we produce content in relating to that. But we don't only produce radio. We produce video. We produce photos. So photography is a part of that. We also do a blog, etc. So those are some of the things, some of the programs that we do. But I think generally there must be a need, And because of the need, we respond with a project.
You had mentioned fake news and social media and how you're a community station. How do you teach when you're doing the trainings with people who are adults coming in for training, children coming in for training who want to learn more about this? How do you teach them not to get in? Because I know the media world is a big circus right now. How do you teach them not to kind of get into that fake news, like that kind of thing? It's more just stay on the path.
Yeah. For us, we always tell anyone, even the staff, we won't necessarily, we do not necessarily want to be first, but we do want to be correct. So this whole thing about breaking the story and so on, we're not necessarily going to break stories at that level. But when you put something on Push Radio, you know it's fact-checked and you know the information is correct. And that's what our listeners appreciate. So they will come to Push Radio because they know if we listen to the news, we know it's going to be reliable. We know we can trust it. I'll tell you a funny story one day, and it's not fake news related, but one morning we get a call from one of the provincial ministers. So South Africa have provincial ministers and national ministers, as in those in cabinet. And this minister phoned us and she said, I'm listening to Bush Radio and I just heard I'm being sued today. She didn't know she was going to be sued, but we ran the story because someone that was going to sue her actually sent us the information. So that was a funny story, coming to fact check, am I being sued today with the station?
That's really funny that she that's how she found out. That's great that she found out through you. What do those moments mean when people, listeners, just in general, no matter who they are, whether they're in the cabinet or not, when they come back to you and say, oh, I got this out of Bush. I was in the crew program and I got this out of it professionally and personally, whatever it is, any kind of takeaway. What does that mean to you and to Kusa? You both can answer this question as a manager, as a broadcaster. What does that mean to the both of you being a part of this?
I think that it's very fulfilling because it shows that what you want to achieve has been achieved through that person. I think we get it through a lot of people. With us celebrating 30 years, we had people coming back that still listens to Bush Radio today, that still carries Bush Radio in their heart. I'll give you two examples. On our crew program, we have a mother that joined Bush Radio's crew program when she was 12. A mother, she brings every Saturday, she brings her two children that participates in the crew program today. And she's there to assist and facilitate. So I'm not going to mention names. So that's one example. On our Bush Radio board, and we have a board that's elected through community organizations, but on our board, the chairperson, as well as our secretary, are both people that participated in crew. So you have like a cycle of people somehow coming back at another stage. So those are two examples that I'll use.
And Kusi, how about you? What are some stories you could share?
There's been quite a few where, for example, with the segment called Job Shop, where we would read jobs that we find online. And then people, when we share them via our WhatsApp, they will sometimes come back and say, yo, thanks, Bush Radio, you know. Even though it's something easy that people can just go to the internet and search the jobs, but they would call us like or send us a message or even including coming to the station, sometimes looking for those jobs, you know, traveling different parts of Cape Town. But at the mostly it's more of people are listening. They will call in and yeah. And remember with the radio, we always have also like silence listeners where they will just confirm if maybe we're doing an outside podcast somewhere. They will tell you about this particular day that they remember that Bush Radio changed their lives.
Changing lives.
I wanted to add something. One of the artists, he's a painter basically, came in and I think he was interviewed by Kusi actually. And he came in and he explained his art and so on. And he was saying, like, he haven't sold any pieces, nothing like that. So it's a bit of a struggle for him to survive. And immediately after that, he actually posted on social media, because from that interview, somebody heard and actually called him and bought his painting, and he put it on social media. I just sold this just after my interview with Bush Radio.
I mean, that really just goes to show the impact of, you know, people really are listening and just how tapped into the community, you know, and vital these local community stations are. I'm curious. So you had mentioned earlier, Brenda, so there's over 250 community radio stations in South Africa. So in the United States, many of... Wow. So in the United States, many of our community radio stations partner together to share content and make sure our populations are well informed. Is there similar infrastructure in South Africa? Do stations partner across cities, like share content between like Cape Town and Joburg? And what is kind of the infrastructure for covering rural areas outside of the city?
Okay, so we do partner with other radio stations. However, the South African law, our broadcast law in South Africa, basically limits the number of sharing of information you can have. And for community radio, that's at 20%. So of your content, you can't have more than 20% of shared content. And they define it as syndicated content. There is one that the government does, it's basically talk to the government, and the government will go on like 120 of those community radio stations to report the communities of what they're doing and also to take calls. Now, the important thing is for years, we didn't want to take this program, because it goes through the government. If there's anything, any stages, any laws that's in the discussion stage and it's not finalized, where people can make input, the budgeting process, all of those things will be they will take it to the community radio stations and so on. And we always thought it might affect our independence, so we, as a station, we actually deliberately avoided those programs. But the advantage with that program, those programs, are that you have a toll-free number, and anyone that listens to the broadcast can call in and they can speak to the president if the president is on air, or they can speak directly to the minister and ask their questions. So later on, we thought that adds value to, and it sort of makes the ministers and their departments accountable, and they can also hear real life challenges that communities are facing. So we started taking those programs for those reasons. So that's one. But even with that program, because it's syndicated, and the 20% syndication limits that, you don't always take all the programs that's offered. You need to actually plan it out. So that's one. But I think generally we do share content. If there's a protest in Johannesburg, as a community radio station, we're not going to send someone there, but we will contact one of the radio stations, maybe at Joseph M, and say there's a riot in Soweto. Can you send us any sound? Can we speak to one of your journalists so that they can tell us what's happening? So we do that, yes.
So, for example, would this show be considered towards your syndicated if there are no other stations in South Africa that are covering it?
No, it won't, because it's local. It's South African syndication.
Okay.
If you could describe, because you were saying before about people calling in and stuff, I'll see online on social media sometimes Bush Radio's Advice Hour, and even Kusi was talking about people with job postings and coming in. Really, you guys are really a present force in the community. Describe kind of how that has evolved in the 30 years of Bush, the role in the community. Obviously, it has evolved greatly, but describe from you as someone who's been there from the beginning.
I think the community participation part, have changed over time. When we started in 1995, after we were licensed, we got the license, we went on air, people would not phone into the studio. And that was still that we had to break down a lot of barriers that people had. So remember, we're coming from an oppressive apartheid system. This is now 1995. You had people that were banned by the government, and you didn't have a tradition of actually calling into a radio station and raising your opinion about a political topic or even a politician or what's happening in the country or any of those things. So that was, so it took us a number of years to actually break down those, the fear that existed. And the way we did it is to take the radio to the people. So we would take our outside broadcast, have a town hall meeting and discuss these issues, and people could raise the issues there because that's what they were used to in terms of meetings and raise your issues there, but they weren't used to raising it on air through a radio station. That we slowly moved away. So now people do participate. I think with social media, it's an advantage and a disadvantage because people can abuse the social media, but at least it gives people that comfort they can participate in the station. So I think today even people will call in, people will WhatsApp, people will do all of that, including sometimes on social, on Facebook. We get a lot of messages on Messenger, for instance, via. So as a station, we offer all the platforms and people can decide which platform to use.
Now, obviously, you're here to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Bush Radio. You had an event back in August, a night of jazz. How was that? And what else can people in the Cape Area expect to celebrate this milestone occasion?
So the jazz was great. I can tell you that. It was a highlight. We had five local women, because August is also Women's Month. So we had five local jazz artists that actually performed, and it ended on a big bang. So that was how we had a gala dinner as well, and we have some other activities planned for the rest of the year, because our birthday, even though officially the birthday was in August, we are having events right through for the next year. Celebrating the 30 years. So we have another fundraiser planned later in the year in December. We have a Poiki course competition planned. We have our Media Kidocracy Conference planned. And we have a media conference for journalists and so on planned for next year. So what we're also doing is we're doing a pledge drive for the station, because we are non-profit, so we need to raise all our funds, and we're doing that as well from September till December.
One of them is with Bush Radio partnering with, I don't know if it's a company or organization called Big Little Productions, where now Bush Radio is diving into the digital space of video, even though Bush Radio has been skeptical about showing too much video on. But now, since the world is changing, so now they're incorporating it with one video and audio, which is a podcast. Even though it's still now on the trial, maybe in future the whole station will be able to do that. So those are some of the 21st century ways to, you know, enhance in how the radio is changing. Even though many people still prefer the old way, listening in the car or home and all that. But we know that since now access to internet is easy, so Bush Radio is diving into those spaces. Those are some of the future projects.
I think what Kusi is mentioning, it's actually part of our, we launched it as part of our celebration of 30 years. And we having a 6-part episode where we're recording local unsigned artists. So it's not only about giving them exposure, but also educating them about the music industry. So we have partners on board that can do that. And each week, so it's six artists or groups. Each week, it's a different one. We have audience participation as well. And it goes out live on Facebook. And it's broadcasted on Bush Radio as well. And it's filmed. And we produce the podcasts afterwards. So that's a very exciting project that we're currently busy with. And we hope the 6 week is the pilot phase. But we hope that after that, after we've done the assessment and so on, we're actually going to do it, continue with that project. And I can say that in terms of the music and so on, it's different genres. It's from reggae to jazz to all the other genres. So we did a call where we asked people to participate and be selected from that six groups. So that's an exciting project. I think for me, working at Bush Radio for so long, I was an activist when I was 12 years old. I was fighting against the apartheid government. And for me, people are the important ingredient at Bush Radio, community. And I think that's what kept me at Bush Radio, because every day is different. You're meeting different people, some old friends, some new people, new friends. You work with people and you can see the tangible difference in people, as you can like see the light bulb goes on sometimes with trainees, for instance, or new journalism students currently. And in the week that we're training them, this is day three, you can actually see the development and how they grow over that period. And I think that I find very satisfying.
And on that note, I think that's a good place to end it. People are the main ingredient of Bush Radio. And we thank both of you. Well, really, Kusi's a host, but Kusi was kind of a guest today too. But Brenda, thank you very much for coming on the show today and discussing 30 years of Bush Radio. Congratulations on this incredible milestone.
And also, I didn't want to overshadow Brenda into Bush Radio's information, as I know, because I want her to be the one who explains it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. You've been listening to the One World Community Radio Show on 88.7 FM WRHU, 89.5 FM Bush Radio, the mother of community radio, and 88.3 WRCT, Radio Carnegie Tech in Pittsburgh. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you all next time. And to conclude, to celebrate 30 years of Bush Radio and honoring this collaboration, we're going to now play the song that Bush Radio and WRHU collaborated on for this show, Starting All Over.
listening to One World Radio, a collaboration between 89.5 FM Bush Radio, Cape Town, South Africa, and 88.7 FM WRHU Radio Hofstra University, Hempstead, New York. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you next week as we celebrate the power of radio in our one world. Tot ziens, jylle.
which is not even a ghost, but its dead self. Almost all you can say of it is that it consists of the mere letters of its old name.
You feel like that.